Yesterday, we had a contradiction in Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. We said that Reb Meir says that a shogeg on a hezekshen and nicker on a non-recognized visible damage has to pay because he's glazer shogeg on tamezin. He said that takana won't work unless we make it across the board. Reb Yehuda did not make zerat of shogeg on tamezin. We had a contradiction from Shabbos, where there Reb Meir said if one cooks on Shabbos b'shogeg, he can eat it right away. Make no gzerah. And Rabbi Yehuda said, if he cooks on Shabbos, he has to wait till Matzah Shabbos. Now, granted, Rabbi Yehuda did not treat shagig as strictly as he did mezid, but he did aser shagig also. That means he was worried about shagig to mezid, and Rabbi Meir was not, which is a contradiction to what they said here by Hezek Shedinikr. So the Gemara answered in Rabbi Meir that by Shabbos we're dealing with a biblical answer, so people will not do mezid and claim shagig. By Hezek Shedinikr, it's only written, the way Rashi learns, it's only a rabbinic prohibition. Right? Since it's only a rabbinic prohibition, manage and claim shagig, and therefore we had to make the gzera across the board. We had a problem in Rashi, because L'chayra Matame is biblical. The damage might not be biblical, but the act of being Matame Truma is a biblical answer. So we answered that Rashi could learn that the Gemara is saying by Truma Drabanan, or by Chulin earlier in the week, that there's an Isser Midrabanon to be Matama Truman Chulin and Eretz Yisrael. So those are rabbinic. So therefore, Remeir was Glazer Shagig to Mezid. The Gemara answered, asked the question, what happened to Menaseh, pouring wine for Avodah Zarah? That's biblical. And the Gemara answered, Chumrad Avodah Zarah, because of the severity of Avodah Zarah, Remeir was stricter by Avodah Zarah. That's what we did yesterday. What we did not get to yesterday is Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda as well. Because by Hezek Shedinikr, he's not Glazer, and by Shabbos, he is. So that part we never answered. We answered why Reb Meir is Glazer by Shabbos, not by Hezek Shedinikr. Why Reb Meir is Glazer by Hezek Shedinikr, and not Glazer by Shabbos, but we did not answer Rabbi Yehuda. So we're up to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 lines in the bottom on the Gimel Amud Beis.
If the remote listeners could please mute themselves.
Everybody please mute themselves. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, like Kasha, he like Kanas with Rabbanon, but the Raisa Kanas, just the opposite. He says, Rabbanons are less severe than the Raisa. We don't have to punish Shagig by Rabbanons. It's by the Raisas that we worry. Therefore, by Shabbos, we were strict in Shagig. By Hezek Shedinikr, we weren't strict by shagig. Fracting a bar of a Manasseh deraisa, but loikanis. Aye, Manasseh is a deraisa, and yet Rabbi Yehuda did not knas. So the Gemara, Mishum Chumrad Avodah Zarah, Chumrad Avodah Kachavim, Mivdu B'dili Minei. He holds people stay away from Avodah Zarah. There's no reason to punish shagig by Avodah Zarah. So the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are an exact opposite. The Meir holds there's more reason to punish, to be stricter by rabbinic things than by biblical things. So by rabbinic things, we paskin shagig, we knas shagig to tamezin. By biblical things, we don't. I'm an asech, biblical, and we don't. I'm sorry, and we do. Again, Rameir holds we do by rabbinic, we don't have to by biblical. Biblical drives people away on its own, they stay away from shagig, we don't have to worry about shagig to tamezin. But by rabbinic, we do worry about it. I'm an asech is biblical, and we pasul shagig, we make him pay by shagig. That's because Avodah Zarah is severe, so we're extra strict by Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yehuda goes the exact opposite. By Drabanan, it's more lenient, there's no reason to to asur shagig. The Raisas are stricter, so we worry about shagig. I Avodah Zarah is the Raisa, and we don't worry according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's because everybody stays away from Avodah Zarah. It's so strict. Mamash, the exact opposite of each other. Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda, b'isser deraisa mishum d'avod isser chomer, since he did a severe isser, karnas v'archikai. He did a knas to make sure people don't cook on Shabbos, even b'shagig. Avod Rabbanon to kill, like karnas is a shagig. But Rabbanon is more lenient, so he didn't punish the shagig. There's no reason to have to be knasta. Frank the Gemara. So now I am going to have a stira in Rav Meir and Rav Meir. The truth is, it's also going to be a stira in Rav Yehuda by biblical things, because we just said Rav Meir said that by biblical things we don't have to punish shaking, because people recognize the severity, and we don't have to worry that people will do shaking, maze it, and claim shaking. Well, I'll show you a case where a mayor by deraisa does worry about shaking. And that is the case, Netanya. Hanateya b'Shabbos. Somebody plants a tree on Shabbos. It's ever deraisa. B'shaking yikayim, b'mezid yaker. B'shaking he can keep it. The mayor treats Shabbos the same way when the guy cooked on Shabbos. Right? When he cooked on Shabbos, he can eat it right away. When he plants on Shabbos, the tree is fine to use when it grows. B'mezid yaker. If he doesn't b'mezid, he has to uproot the tree. So according to a mayor, we treat Shabbos equally the way we treated it by cooking. Right? Except he can't say that you can use it mitzvah Shabbos, because by a tree, it's never available now. It's always long term. So if you're going to punish a mezid, you have to punish it long term. By cooking, you can say, don't eat it today, eat it tomorrow night. Right, eat it tonight. But by, what's that noise that something is going off? Anyway, by mezid, He punishes because he did it by mezid. We have to punish him. And unlike Bishul, where we can get away with a punishment of 12 hours, we can't get away with a punishment here because the tree is not available for another 3 years. And therefore, we have to punish him by saying he has to uproot it. Zivir Emeir. Rabbi Yehuda Emeir, a Beshvias, if he plants on Shemitah, which is also a Teraisa, Bein Beshagig, Bein Bemezid, De'akir. Zivir Emeir. And that's a Teraisa. And yet Remeir punishes Shagig. Now Remeir, within the Rises, has contradicted himself. By Shabbos, he doesn't punish Shagig at the Mezid, and by Shemitah, he does. Now, if you're going with the rule of Mezid, of Deraisa, both are biblical. Both Shagig should not be punished.
I mean, Stira and Remeir, you wouldn't know without the Gemara.
Exactly.
You don't need yesterday's Gemara.
You don't need yesterday's Gemara makes it more acute. Rabbi Yehuda Emeir, the exact opposite. B'shvias b'shagig yikayim b'mezid yaker. On Shemitah, we don't punish shagig. And b'shabbos, b'im b'shagig b'im b'mezid yaker. So again, Rabbi Yehuda, who said by the Rises, we do punish, so Shabbos is consistent, but then comes Shemitah, and, I'm sorry, by Rabbi Yehuda, right, then comes Shemitah, and he says that you can keep it b'shagig. So it's a stira Rav Meir, it's a stira Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara does not ask the internal contradiction. The Gemara asks it as a question in our sugya. The Gemara's response is going to be, forget our sugya, it's an internal contradiction. Right, first the Gemara asked it in our answer. We said Rav Meir does not punish the Rises, and Rav Yehuda does punish the Rises. Well, by Shemitah, Rav Meir did punish the Deraisa, and Rav Yehuda did not. The Shagig. That's the Gemara's question. Then the Gemara says, forget our Gemara. They internally contradict each other. Why are you asking this over here? There should be a question anywhere. Right? So that's the Gemara's response. Don't ask me a question of my answer. Ask internally. And when you figure that out, come back and talk to me. In the Brice itself, the Brice that contradicts itself in two lines. Forget our answer. Forget what we said. The Braisa has Shabbos and Shvias, both are biblical, and both are Meir and Yehuda differentiate between the two. So forget our sugya, you have a kasha. The Gemara brought it as a kasha on our answer. The Gemara says, O Tameich, Tikshalach Higufa. Why don't you ask the Braisa by itself? Michti, let us see. Hadaraisa and Hadaraisa. They're both biblical. Maishna Shabbos and Maishna Shvias. Why are we treating them any different? So you're going to have to make sense of the Braisa without our answer. So don't bother me about my answer. First figure out that Braisa. Rashi. Look, Rashi. Rambi deraisa deraisa. Helkatani b'shabbos deraisa b'loi kanas. By Shabbos he does not punish shagig Remeir. V'gabi shviyas katani b'im b'shagig b'im b'mezid yonker. V'hu adin amid l'Rabbi Yehuda kasha. The truth is we could have asked this the contradiction of Yehuda as well. Since the first Tana is Remeir, so we say, ask Remeir. See, because the Gemara before said, we have a contradiction in Remeir and in Rabbi Yehuda. Here it just says we have a contradiction in Remeir. So Rashi points out, don't let it worry you. It could have said Rabbi Yehuda also, but sometimes the Gemara just asks in the first Tana. Maskana, Liba the Tabayim, Matatina Law, the answer will answer both. So Rashi wants you not to stop here and say, the Gemara before said we have a contradiction in Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda. Here the Gemara just says we have a contradiction in Remeir. It's the same contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara doesn't mention it. So Rashi says, don't worry about it. Because sometimes the Gemara does that, and the answer answers both anyway, so you don't have to worry about it. And for the Gemara. Allah hasam kudiktani taima. The reason it's not a contradiction is when Remeir explained himself. I'm a Remeir. Remeir explains himself. He says, you're going to ask me, why do I differentiate between Shvias and Shabbos? Why by Shabbos do I say Shagig is fine, and by Shemitah I say Shagig is not fine? Why do I say B'Shabbos B'Shagig Yekayim B'Mezid Yonker, or B'Shvias B'Em B'Shagig B'Em B'Mezid Yonker? So Remeir addresses the issue directly. We don't have to give him any answers. We don't have to help him. He takes care of himself.
What does that mean? He takes care of himself. That means he said this, right?
He said, so, you're going to ask me the contradiction. No. Here is the answer. We haven't said it yet because I was interrupted.
But if you would have brought this down completely, this is a Brisa, yes, and this Tanya, the Tam Shabbos, you brought the whole thing down. With Remeir's Shtikl Torah, you would never have this question originally in the...
That's how Gemara operates. That's how Gemara operates. Write Ravina Ravashi a letter. Write him a letter. Send him an email. Again, I'm just answering the question. That's how Gemara operates.
He got upset because the Gufa and the Brisa, the Stira. But guess what? If you had brought down the whole Brisa, you would never have this problem.
Tamar Meir. If Neiman Yomer B'Shabbos B'Shagig Yikayim B'Meitid Yaker, or B'Shvias Bein B'Shagig Bein B'Meitid Yaker, the answer is, nay, he's going to take two answers. Number one, Shisrael Meinim L'Shvias Rei Meinim L'Shabbosos. What happens is, people are going to say, how old is this three? 3 years. Oh, 3 years ago was Shemitah. Means everybody's always going to look at this tree and say, oh, it was planted in Shemitah. Because unlike us that never question the age of the tree, unless it's a sequoia tree in California, we don't ever want to know what the age of a tree is. They knew what the age of each tree was. It was important for them, for their agriculture. And therefore, all of the lifetime of this tree, everybody's always going to attribute that it was planted in Shemitah. And it's always going to be undermining Kedusha Shemitah. Oh, that's the tree that the guy planted in Shemitah. Oh, by mistake, but he planted in Shemitah. We don't want anything around that for years afterwards will always be attributed to having been done by Esser. You cook on Shabbos, by Sunday nobody knows where the food is. Nobody's talking on Shabbos afternoon, on Sunday afternoon about the food you ate. Whereas on the tree, it's always around. And it's always going to be looked at, when was this tree planted? 3 years ago. Oh, 3 years ago was Shemitah. That's one reason. That's why by Shemitah we're more machmer. That's what Remeir is saying. Even though by the rice I don't punish Shagig, Shemitah is an exception. Because Shemitah is always going to be attributed to Shemitah. It's always going to undermine Kedusha Shemitah. Because people will always remember that this tree was planted on Shemitah. The Barachar, second shot. The Gemara is going to want to know why he needs a second shot. Next to the Yisrael al-Shvias, the next to the al-Shabbatas. The Tremeir, even though Shemitah is a deraisa, unfortunately, people don't keep Shemitah as well as they keep Shabbos. And therefore, you can't be lenient, B'Shagig. Because people take advantage, unfortunately, of Shemitah. They're not as strict. And if we're going to let Shagig be mutter, people will plant and claim they were Shagig. So therefore, even though by derisas we say people don't do things of amazing and claim Shagig, because it's a derisa, they stay away from it, Shemitah, unfortunately, is a weaker, it's a weaker kept. People don't keep Shemitah as much as they should.
What's with the
issue? Next, they are accused. It's a Raisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah, Parshas Bahar.
What's
with the issue? Lav. Lav. Right.
Right. So, you know, Shabbos is a skiwa.
Yeah, the Raisa is a Raisa. The man differentiated between Rabbonim and the Raisa. He did not say there's a difference in that. That's your tarot. Rameir said the difference is Rabbanan and the Raisa. He did not say your tarot. Do you want to know why he didn't say your tarot? I don't know. But he didn't say your tarot.
That's what I wanted to know.
He said a different tarot. Okay, so that means he doesn't want to make a difference between a Lav and a Misa. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Mining Yisrael Lashrias on the Amid Beis, the last Rashi. Yisrael Mining Shneishni to Shayim Lashrias. They always, now, Rashi is trying to, what? Mining count. Now, the reason Rashi is getting involved here is, why are people counting the years? Who cares? The answer is, there's Arla, first 3 years it can't be used, you have to know the age of the tree, then the fourth year is Netarevai, you have to take it to Yerushalayim or redeem it. There's halachas and fruits of a tree. The age of a tree is an important part of halacha. Therefore, Naomi's going to say, what year is this? Year 3. Oh, it means you planted on Shemitah. So therefore, since they age of...
They
had to know the halacha. The owner knew. And people who bought the fruit had to find out. Yisrael mayne shneisni the same l'shvias. Vishetzvichem him l'shloisa hanatiya l'arla ul'rvai. First 3 years is arla, aser bana, and the fourth year, shuvai has to be taken to Shalayim. Kshiyaitim is arla, machalim aita, and you redeem it, bervias in the fourth year. So haraya, mayneim shanim l'rvaya, whoever sees the tree, counts years backwards, v'yadeh shenilta b'shvias, v'asi l'mishra d'tiyah b'shvias. So in the first 4 years, people are going to be looking back that it was planted on Shemitah. Nobody counts days. Two months later, nobody's going to remember that this tree was planted on Shabbos. Maybe even a week later. Whereas, this will always be attributed to Shemitah because of the Arla and Revai, that we have to know which year the tree is in. That's answer number one. The bracha was that Yidden are accused, unfortunately, for not keeping Shemitah appropriately. And therefore, by Shemitah, we have to ask your Shaggy. Frank the Gemara, my Dabaracha. Why did he need a second answer? What was wrong with the first answer that he needed the second answer? I mean, obviously, the first answer has a hole in it. Because if not, he just should have said the first answer. That's his reason. Why did he need a second reason? Dr. Gemara, B'zuchitei Meshabbos Nami, Zimnim D'mikla L'yayim Abed B'Shabbos. I'm going to read the Gemara, and then I'm going to explain it. Yidatahu Yayimu D'Salka L'Shaita, V'Loi L'Salka L'Shaita. The halacha is, you're not allowed to plant, the halacha is, we'll say two ways. There's two halachas that are affected by this. If you plant a tree more than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah comes, the tree enters year 2. Both for Arla, that means 31 days into the planting, it's really not 30 days, it ends up being 60 days, but let's just say 30 days. That's what the Brisa says. 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, 31 days before Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah comes, the tree enters year 2. Also, you're not allowed to plant a tree within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, of Shemitah. Because that's considered like planting a Shemitah, because it doesn't consider planted till after 30 days. It takes 30 days for the tree to be considered planted. So therefore, anything within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah is considered next year. Anything before 30 days of Rosh Hashanah is considered the year before. Now, people are going to look at this tree and try to figure out if it's year 2 or year 1. We'll count days back to when it was planted. Okay, it was planted when? Oh, 30 days ago, 31 days ago. Oh, that was Shabbos. So it was planted on Shabbos. So why are we saying that people only count years and never count days? It's not true. They count days because they have to know whether it was 30 days before Rosh Hashanah or not 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, they will figure out that it was planted on Shabbos, and we have the same problem with Shabbos that we have on Shemitah. Therefore, a mayor says, people are more accused on Shemitah than they are on Shabbos. And therefore, it's very infrequent that we have a Shabbos planted. But Shemitah, it's more frequent. So the combination of two reasons. Number one is people will attribute it to Shemitah, and two, unfortunately, happens too often. For Shabbos, people won't attribute it to Shabbos, and even if they do, it's a thing that doesn't happen that often. That's what the Gemara is saying. Let's read it inside. So the Gemara, B'chitei M'Shabbos Nami, Zimn D'Mikvul Yom Haba B'Shabbos. Sometimes the 30th day comes on Shabbos. The Natahu Yom Hu D'Salka L'Shaita. If he plants that day, then the year is over by Rosh Hashanah. B'Yilayin, if he didn't plant it that day, L'Salka L'Shaita, the year is not over by Rosh Hashanah. So people will attribute it to a planting on Shabbos. Toshima, the Barakar, that's why Rameir told us his second reason. Next to Yisrael of the Shvius, really next to the Shabbos. They were accused on Shemitah, and they were not accused on Shabbos. Rashi, my Barakar, Lamalei Lasu Yatai Machrina. Why did he have to bring a second reason? Hachi Gomer, because Yitai Meshabbos is Nami, Zimnin the Tzarek Limimni. Sometimes you have to count it. Netanya, if you plant before Shmias 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, also Lashana Lashne Arla, it counts as a year for Arla, the Shlashim Yom Hashanah Chashuvim Shana, 30 days in a year is considered a year. Umutu Lakaim and Shmias, you can keep it in Shemitah. Pachas Mishlashim Yom Rosh Hashanah, Lay also Lashana didn't count, also Lakaim and Shmias. Hilka Zimlin, the Shabbos Ushanata, having Yom Shlashim Yom Rosh Hashanah. It can come out that he planted it 30 days before Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. Well, Monday night Shoshanah, we have a butzer who yaimah, he missed that day. Rabbi Solik Meshaita would not account to his year. Lachers man, kishayichlim and aperes l'shayv shtei shanim. 2 years later, they start eating the fruit. And they say, v'amrim, v'amu hutru peres halal l'shtei shanim. Why are we allowed to eat this? It's not 3 years old yet. V'amrim lahem, and he says, no, hashloishim shtei Rosh Hashanah chashuvim shanim. I planted it 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. And they say, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah? That was Shabbos. Well, maskirin should not be Shabbos. But let's assume we should punish him. Tashema, that's why the second reason, the Racha next Yisru HaShavis, Vikil HaMechish Mitoyek Shadav and Nikar, since people recognize it was planted on Shemitah, and unfortunately they don't keep Shemitah that well, Asil HaMishru in the Tia B'Shavis. Even if once in a while you'll find out, it's a combination of reasons. One is that Shemitah. But it could happen. So it's not always true. It's not always true that it wouldn't happen on Shabbos. No, it's not. You're right. Number one, the Achranim ask a bigger question. He didn't have to say, I planted it 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. He could have said, I planted it 32 days before Rosh Hashanah. That was on a Thursday. It doesn't have to be 30 days before Rosh Hashanah to count. Anything more than 30 days counts. All they want to know is it wasn't 29 days. They don't really care whether it was planted on day 30 or 31 or 32. He'll tell them it was on the 30th day. And they'll say, oh, that was Shabbos. So that's why you need more than that. The answer is, even if that happens, it's still Shabbos people stay away from. Combination of reasons. But you're right. There is the question is a little bit difficult. As you pointed out, what are the chances that he planted it on Shabbos? Poop, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. He could have planted it 31 days before Shabbos. 35. All they want to know is it's not less than 30 days. They don't really care whether it's 30 or 35. The Rashash's kasha, the Mamshiv's kasha, they blame Tzarkin. Back to the Gemara. So that answers the contradiction of Rameir. Rameir doesn't punish the Rises. Shemitah is an exception. For two reasons. For a combination of two reasons. People attribute it 3 years later, they think back, and they still know it was planted on Shemitah. And Shemitah, unfortunately, is a weak thing Shemitah. They know which year it was planted on, right? And therefore, they will always attribute it. But that by itself would not be a reason, only because they're weaker about Shemitah anyway. That's what Rameir is saying. Rabbi Yehuda, he's the exact opposite. He punishes Shabbos. He doesn't punish Shemitah. Frank, you talk to Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, like Hashem. But Asrid Rabbi Yehuda, Chamir, Leishvias. In Rabbi Yehuda's city, Shemitah was, he didn't touch Shemitah. It was stricter in people's eyes than Shabbos. And therefore, even though he punishes the Raisa, Shemitah was like Avodah Zarah. Just like Avodah Zarah, he said people stay away from, Shemitah people stayed away from. And there's no fear that people will confuse striking and mason. People treated Shemitah very terribly, very strictly. And he proves it. He's Amalei L'Chaveira in Rabbi Yehuda's city. Somebody told his friend, Dayer Bar Dayasa, you're a Ger, the son of a Geyeris. He wanted to insult him. He said, you're not even born Jewish. Amalei, Anolei Echli Perish V'Yizkoresach. But I don't eat Shemitah fruit. So the response to an insult was, you're worse than I am, you eat Shemitah fruit. So you see how it must have been strict in their eyes. If not, it would not have been the response. That's what the Gemara is proving. What? Rashi. The Yorah by the Arsa Ger Ben Geiris. Period. So we answered both Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. You look troubled. Not troubled, good. Tashima, we're going to bring in other questions. Now, to get this question...
A person insults someone...
I know, this is very good. This is the mama's room. You're right. He should have kept quiet and said, this is the Rebbeinu Shlom's plan for me.
Should not
respond. I'm in mama's makabo
ba'ava. Why would you respond to a loser?
Again, it's Chayi Shel. Baruch Hashem, we have a mashgiach here. I'm very happy. We have a mashgiach on premises.
In general, what do you speak of?
What
do you ask someone to embarrass someone with words? What's the appropriate thing to get elbow? It's of.
It's not of, it's elbow.
No, I'm saying, what would happen, not just in general, what's the appropriate thing?
The appropriate thing is to keep quiet. Hashem Amalei Kalel, but Zogun the Rishaynim, that takes an unbelievable high madrega. Because the Rishaynim say that if a person responds at the time, he's not blamed. It's no Avera. The muscle. Somebody punches you in the face. So the right thing to do is to say, I'm not responding. Zogun the Rishaynim, but if you punch him back, he does no Avera. Only if you wait a day and you calm down and you plan a return, that's answer. But if in the heat of the moment you respond, that's 100% understandable in human nature. Hay Madrega, to be like David HaMelech, when Shimi Ben Gera cursed him, he told people, don't respond, Elokim Amalei Kaleo. David HaMelech got to be the fourth leg of the Merkava at that story. It's not simple to stand there, B'Shas Maisa, and not respond.
Well, then Yeshka said to turn the other cheek, that the Jews said to respond.
I don't know anything about Yaskum. And I know. It's not true, by the way. The Jewish response is not to respond. The story with David HaMelech. Shimi Ben Gera cursed him. And David HaMelech said, don't respond. The Rebbeinu Shlom wanted me cursed. He did his Avera, but the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted me cursed. There's no reason to... Again, it's a very high madriga. In fact, David HaMelech was zeichet to be the regular Revi'i B'Merkava on that story. Not for writing Dillam, but for keeping quiet when, as a king, he was cursed by somebody and he kept quiet.
He waited and he talked to
Shlomo. Again, that was because of Kavod Malchus. Nothing to do with that. But that's what the Chazal tell us. So again, it's a very high madriga. The regular person is not blamed if he responds in kind at the heat of the moment. Exactly what he accomplishes, I'm not sure. But that's human nature. If somebody insults you, you insult them back.
Back home.
No, of course not. It's all year round by Rabbi Bromko.
Come back with a better hit. You're saying if you're not that...
eating parashiyas was a very terrible thing. You tell them you eat parashiyas, that's like saying you shank it to.
It's mutter to answer back. That's the thing?
Yes. In the heat of the moment, if you respond in kind, it's mutter.
Shouldn't be mevater?
Again, see, I love this. I have such
Madrigal?
A high Madrigal.
Is it a higher Madrigal or is that the halacha?
No, it's a higher. No. The halacha is not that you have to keep quiet. No. The halacha is that if you can't plan a response, meaning you can't say, tomorrow I'll even the score. No. That's usher. But in the heat of the moment to protect yourself, you respond, it's acceptable. It's not the highest madriga. It's a much higher madriga to be able to be like a Avram Cohn or like a Moshe Freund, but they don't respond to people even in Av. Not only in hell.
All right.
But I give the Avram Cohn, if you haven't responded, it should be a good one.
Have your back pocket. Just listen, you should plan. You could plan to have good. Yeah.
Why would anybody want to embarrass you?
Maybe I deserve it.
Well, that's for sure. If it happens, then you deserve it. Or Hashem wouldn't let it happen if you didn't deserve it. But on the other hand, but why would you let? Why would you expect anybody to want to embarrass you? Chas v'shalom. Okay. Tashma. Now the next raya is going to take the Gemara to go through a half an amud of explaining a brisa. It's really a Mishnah, I think. Explaining a Mishnah. You know, it's a brisa. Explaining a brisa, and then when it finishes explaining the brisa, at that point, we have a kasha and remeir. But till then, we have no kasha. So it's a long explanation, figuring out shot in the brisa, and after we finish shot in the brisa, then we can come back and see how it pertains to our sugya. So we need patience. It's going to take a while till we get to how it affects our sugya. Tashma. Now, let me explain something. When a person eats truma, Yisrael eats truma, he has to pay back, not in money, but in produce. So if he eats a pound of truma of wheat, he has to pay back a pound of chulin in wheat. And it's exeris akasiv that chulin that he pays back turns into truma. Not tabo, he doesn't pay back tay, chulin. He had separated truma already from this. It's chulin. But because he's using it as a payback for the chulin, that, for the truma that he ate, it turns into truma. That's the exeris akasiv. So if Yisrael eats a pound of wheat of truma, he owes the kayin, he has to pay him back. It's not a monetary payment, he doesn't pay him back in cash. He has to pay him back the amount, Rashi is going with that money, all right? You have to pay him back the volume of what he ate. And when he pays him back, this turns into truma.
You have to do it that way?
Has to do it that way.
You can't buy
truma. Yeah. When he ate truma b'shagig, he owes the kayin money.
Isn't truma cheaper? If I can buy it on the market?
Doesn't make a difference. He has to pay back the volume. That's what I'm trying to say. It's Gesugim Sakham, we're not going into it now. But that's how Rashi operates with that thing. That means if he ate a pound of chulin, he ate a pound of truma, he pays back a pound of chulin, which turns into truma. That last piece is exeris hakasav. Chulin can't become truma. When you separate from tevo, you can make truma. Once it's chulin, it can't become truma. Right? If somebody separates...
It's a magical thing?
It's a Xerus custom. You call it magic. You can call it magic. I call it a Xerus custom.
It's like regular truma now?
It's regular truma. With every halakha of truma.
I mean, he can't take cash?
It cannot be paid in cash.
Can't do truma.
It's the fee, midah mishalom. That's the halakha. It has to be worth as much, but it can be worth more as Baruch Meitzchik gave. That's not our point. Our point is he has to reimburse him the same volume.
Isn't truma typically on the market cheaper than
food? You said that a minute ago, and I said we don't care. You pay more.
But he buys the volume. He buys the volume from another coin. The same exact volume and gives it back.
I don't know. The Gemara seems to say he has to pay chulin, which turns into truma. You're asking me if he has extra truma, can he use that as payment? I don't know. I don't think so, because there's a kapara for eating truma that's not being the schaper by getting other truma. He ate truma, even if he ate his own truma. You still, I don't know how exactly that works. Didn't have a room. Now, Tashema. Achol truma tameya, which is not supposed to be eaten. Mishalom chulin tahirim. He has to pay chulin tahirim. Even though he ate truma tameya, he should still pay with chulin tahirim. Now, Gemara is going to have a problem with this case. Again, we are going to work out this braisa. Shilam chulin tameya, mahu. What if he...
Only when he does truma tamea, rather than if he eats somebody else's truma that's not
truma. That's why we're going to do this rest. Again, what we're going to read now is going to be very difficult. We're going to give the Gemara a chance. That's why we're learning this Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain everything. Shilam chulin tameim. What if he didn't pay chulin tameim? He paid chulin tameim, which, by the way, turns into truma tameim now. Mahu. Is he Yaitz's payment or not Yaitz's payment? Amr Sumchas Mishum Remeir. Sumchas says in the name of Remeir, B'shaygig Tashlum of Tashlumim. The maid that ain't Tashlum of Tashlum. If he did his B'shaygig, that he unfortunately by mistake paid Chulin Tameim, it becomes Truma and he fulfills his obligation. If intentionally he paid Chulin Tameim, he didn't accomplish his thing. He's not Yaitza. He did not pay back. Now, the Gemara is going to deal with what happens with the payment. That's going to come later. But that's what Remeir said. Right away, we see the basis of the contradiction. Because here's Remeir dealing with a deraisa and differentiating between Shaygig and Mezid. Chamim Aymrim, Echotzeh Vechotzeh, Tashlum of Tashlumim. Whether he paid the Shaygig or the Mezid, it becomes Truma. The Chayzim Shalom Chulun Tairim. But we make him pay a second time. Because since he paid Chulin Tameim, he shouldn't have paid Chulin Tameim. And since he paid Chulin Tameim, we punish him to pay a second time. Remeir says, B'shaygig, he's fine. B'mezid, it's worthless. That's what he seems to say. And B'rachamim say, both times it works, but he has to repay. V'avinim ba, B'mezid amayin tashlum of tashlumim. We had a problem. He ate truma tameya. He ate truma tameya. He didn't eat truma tahira. He ate truma tameya. Why are we saying that he's punished for paying chulin tameya? If anything, when he paid back chulin tameya, it was worth more than truma tameya was worth. Truma tameya was not edible. And he gave chulin tameya, which is edible. Now, granted, the minute he gives it back, it turns into truma tameya. But when he gave it, it was chulin tameya, which is worth more than a truma tameya. Why are we punishing the guy? He's not paying, they're not taking advantage of anything. He's ate truma tameya, which is a very small value. It's not a lot to be eaten. And he paid back chulin tameya, which is a lot to be eaten. Except when he pays it back, it turns into truma tameya. But when he gave it, he was giving something of a much greater value. One second, of greater value. So why are we punishing him? Why are we punishing him? He's not shortchanging the kayin in any way. He ate a pound of truma tameya. He's giving back a pound of chulin tameya.
And it becomes truma tameya.
Becomes truma tameya.
Exactly what it was when he took. So he's giving back exactly what he took.
Again, yes and no. He's giving back something worth more that turns into truma tameya. Again, but when he gave it, it was worth more. I'm stressing that because Rashi does. Right? And yet we're punishing him. Why are we punishing him? He didn't shortchange the kind at all. No, he didn't. The kind had truma tameya, now he has truma tameya. Exactly. So he didn't shortchange the kind. So why are we saying that he's being punished? Why did Rabbanim make him pay a second time? And why did Remeir say, ain't tashlumim, tashlumim?
Is he over a lot now for being the tamei?
No, he wasn't. It was tamei before him. The alchemine, we did like, tamei lo bracha. Now Rashi is stressing, why are we benching the guy? Because the answer is, the he gave him food that he couldn't even eat when he was tamei. When he paid him, he was giving him chul and tamei. So at least he was giving him something that was much more useful. It ended up not being useful. But when he gave it back, he was giving back something of higher value. Chul and tamei cost more in the marketplace. And he was giving back chul and tamei. So why are we punishing him? Granted, at the end of the day, the kohen's not better off. But from the Yisrael's perspective, I spent a lot more money on this.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Rashi.
So what does that mean?
Why are we punishing the guy?
I understand, but the point of it is that, as Rebora said, the bottom line is that the end becomes too much mayor, right? Forget it. I don't care the action that he did. There's no extra. It means nothing. And B'shas Maisa that becomes it was pulled tmeya for 32.8 seconds. Therefore, what?
I'll tell you why. That's why we have Rashi. It's such a beautiful thing that we have Rashi. He does so much for us. Rabbam should call Yisrael. Let's read Rashi. Let's see how Rashi explains it. Dr. Rashi. Tashma. But we have a lot of Rashi to read. Tashma. Dr. Meir b'drabbanu l'kana shagig. Akol truma b'shagig afilu t'meya. B'shalom chulun t'hirim. L'kaman, the parach, the Gemara will ask, amai b'shalom t'hirim. Akol truma shagig, period. The Gemara will ask, why? He ate tmeya. Why does he have to pay t'hira? Dr. Rashi. Now Rashi gives you the background. Ha'echo truma b'shagig, ain't b'shalom mos. When you eat truma b'shagig, you cannot pay money. Ela tfua, you have to pay produce. Ve'ein b'shalom truma, you can't pay with different truma like Baruch Maitre wanted to suggest. Ela chulin mesukanim, you take chulin that's completely fixed, meaning all trumas and maizes were separated. Ba'idei ha'teshlumim, heinas in truma. Shenemer v'nasin l'kaydes ha'kaydesh, ha'idei nisinasoi nasu kaydesh. Zeres ha'kasov. When you give it to him, it turns into truma. Alma, Rabbah haroi lochel olav shem truma beinan. You have to give him something that can turn into truma. V'loy mos. You cannot pay with money. Avlo oich lemezid mishalom mos. If you eat truma b'mezid, you can pay money. Right? You ate truma b'shagig, you cannot pay money. And that's the case here. You ate truma b'shagig, therefore you cannot pay money. B'shagig. Here b'shagig doesn't mean you ate b'shagig. This whole case is talking about you ate b'shagig. B'shagig means a b'shagig shilem. By mistake, you paid with chul and tmeim. Shlo yidei eshein tmeim. Tashlum ev tashlumim, u pater ve'elu. It's pater. Ve'hei nas in truma tmeya, kama sha'achol. And this becomes truma tmeya, like he ate. B'mezid, ain't tashlum ev tashlumim. V'kamei poruch amai, the Gemara is going to say why. L'chayre, he paid back better, okay, or at least the same, as he ate. Echadze ve'echadze, shayu g'mezid. Tashlum ev tashlumim ve'hei nas in truma, u mamen kayin. It becomes true when it belongs to the Kayan. And if he's Makadesh a lady, it's the Kayans. The second payment does not become Truma. Means his best payment was the first payment. This is Rabbanan talking. Whether he paid it B'shagig or B'mezid, he fulfilled his obligation. It belongs to the Kayan, it turns into Truma. But we punish him and we make him pay another payment, which does not turn into truma. Ba'avinaba, the mezid amai ain't tashlum of tashlumim. Amai kanas taloy amezid. Why are you punishing him by mezid? Dahani tashlumim. Holy hisid b'tashlumim guruim. He didn't do a worse payment than he took. The achum and ate truma tahayrid leibatzi lemechum neituma. He ate truma tameya, which is not allowed to be eaten when a kayin is tamei. Right. If somebody eats truma when he's tamei, he's chayav misa b'nei shemayim. I feel he tameya, even if the truma is tamei. And Taitz Gilyan Hashashim Kibega says it's not so simple. You never eat truma tameya. Never. Never. End of story. Nobody can eat it.
Can his wife eat it?
No, truma tameya is not to eat. It has to be used as fuel. Or he can give it to his animal. The chazal may be made tumah. Now here comes the Rashi that everybody was jumping on. We have our gavs of Rashi the soy peinas and truma. When he gives it back, it turns truma v'lechazal eidatzvei. So why does the Gemara say tavei ala bracha? The Gemara seems to be wanting to compliment the guy for paying kulin tameyim. It's not a compliment, right? As everybody in this room screamed, it's the same thing. He wanted to pay something worth more. He didn't know that it was going to be some truma. He meant to be nice to the kayan. He ate truma tameya. He's paying back kulin tameya. In his mind, he's doing the kayan a favor.
He thought he would eat it.
He can't at the end of the day because it turns into truma tameya. But in his mind, he strong thought, I ate something that's almost worth nothing, and I paid it back something that's worth more. Why am I being punished? Now, the Gemara could have said, why am I being punished? I'm paying back the same thing. But the Gemara says even more than that. The Yisroel wants to do more. He's giving him something that's worth more. Tali ala bracha. Now, the bottom line is the Kain's not getting more. But in the Yisroel's mind, who didn't know this was going to happen, he thought, I am being the nicest guy in the world. I'm giving him back something that's worth more than what I ate. Why are we punishing him? What did he do wrong? That's what the Gemara's kasha is. Now, I understand everybody's bothered by the fact that the bottom line is when the kain gets it back, it's not worth more. But when the Yisroel gave it, he thought he was doing more, not less. So why are we punishing him? What?
Get
bracha
for intention.
Right. Correct.
He wanted to give kulin to his tummy?
Yes.
And Yisroel wanted to give kulin to his tummy to the kohen?
As a payment.
As a payment, thinking it was worth more.
It is worth more at the time he gave it. And it turns into truma tameya, which makes it worthless.
And why is that the hand that I truma?
It's not that Yisroel thought I'm giving him something that's going to become truma tameya. He didn't know that halacha.
Yeah, no one in this room knew that.
When a person does this problem of eating from a truma, he has to learn what the law is, how to pay the coin, doesn't he?
He's told he should pay him back produce.
And he's not told exactly what to give?
Again, the bottom line is, he's told to pay back produce.
He's only informed half the story?
He's not informed what happens to the produce when he gives it back.
No,
not negate him.
You have to give kulin
that are tall. And he gave kulin that are tame, which is still worth more. I'm telling you what he did. You're asking me a kasha.
Yeah.
You'll have to talk to him why he did it. He paid kulin to man. And we're punishing him. And our kasha is, why are we punishing him? He didn't shortchange the kain.
He didn't do the right thing.
He didn't shortchange the kain, so why are we punishing him? If anything, he meant to give the kain more than he ate.
He didn't follow
the again, he didn't ask the shayla. He went and paid kulin tameyim. He knew he had to pay food. He paid kulin tameyim.
Don't most kohanim eat their kulin b'tahara anyway?
But they raise their tameh. What happens to a kohen that becomes tameh? He had a relationship with his wife. The whole next day he's tameh. What does he eat that day?
I don't know.
What does he eat that day? A kohen had to go to a funeral of his relative. It's tummy for a week.
He has to get tummy food. He can't touch his regular something that he's shomer b'tahara. He can't see
it. You're right. I always say that if we knew what it meant to keep tummy b'tahara, we'd be flabbergasted. A person's wife becomes a nida. She has to move out of his house. She can't touch any dishes. She can't sit on a couch. The couch becomes an avatama when she sits down on it. She touches a dish, it becomes a rishon l'tumah. It has to be tivled.
And
if it's a kli cheres, it's not tivable. Right? Every food she touches becomes tamei. So anybody that wants to eat chulin b'tahara and he's married, has his wife become a nida, and she's a nida for a minimum of 12 days rabbinically, biblically 7 days, right? Because they kept 7 shivanakiyim, right? So she moves into another room for a week, for 10 days. She's out of circulation. She doesn't cook. She doesn't do the dishes. She doesn't do anything. She can't sit on the couch. She has to have her own couch and her own bed, her neediest place. She has to be in a different situation. It's a totally different thing. I once had it in a shiur, and the guy came back and he told his wife. His wife said she couldn't wait for 12 days. She's just like off the hook.
Every
month. Every month, 12-day vacation. That's why people had more than one wife. Because it's not a joke. Not a joke. Cooking everything. I'm not keeping Tumah Tahara is not simple. Except I understand that Mashiach comes, the Rebbe Shem will take Tumah away from us, so it won't be a problem. At least according to one or some Rishayim. But I'm just saying, it's not simple. Keeping people that ain't cool in Tahara, you know how careful they have to be? Themselves, they had a relationship with their wife. They become a Tumah Balkari for the next day, till they go to the mikvah, till the night. So that means that day they could have to be careful.
So a Kohen kept a reserve of Tumah.
He bought, he could eat Kohen Tyrin, but they become Tumah.
But he had to keep supper and get Tumah Tyrin.
The people that kept Kohen Batara only kept Kohen Batara when they could. Exactly.